Jason, we're going to turn this time over to him. Usually we have our missionary time where I talk about missionaries. We're going to have a missionary talk to you today. How's that sound? All right. Go ahead, Jason, Beth, y'all just take over here.
All right. Good morning, Southend Baptist Church. How's everybody doing this morning?
Great.
Okay, that good. All right. Well, hey, listen, it is such a joy always to be back here and visit with you, our Southend Baptist Church family. I every time I come back, I start to feel a little bit more like how Paul must have felt whenever he circled back around and visit one of the churches that he ministered in. And what a joy it is to see the brothers and sisters in Christ that you've had a relationship with over the years. Wow, this morning I woke up and it occurred to me that I forgot to pack a long sleeve shirt, which I only have one long sleeve shirt in Nicaragua. So I forgot to pack the one. But anyway, I want to share, before we share just a little bit with you about what God's doing or has been doing for almost the past year now. It's been about a year since we saw you guys. Just a quick word of encouragement, and then we'll share a little bit. In Colossians 1, verse 6, Paul, writing to the church in Colossians, says, "This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace." And I share that with you just to say that that is a true statement. The good news that I assume and I hope has changed and transformed many of your lives here this morning is continuing to go out and change lives around the world. And I can tell you that it's changing lives in Nicaragua. We are seeing God at work, and specifically in young people's lives, and we're excited about that. I'll share the end of the passage from Colossians at the end, just as kind of a reminder to pray for us. All right.
I just wanted to share on behalf of our whole family a very special thank you to the whole church. As you probably have heard, right when we returned from furlough, we had some issues that left us with a deficit in our support account. And the Lord used you guys to provide a huge part of that deficit that we needed for this year back in the summer. And when we got word of that, I believe it was late July or early August, we were just beyond grateful for that. And so we just wanted you to know that we are so, so thankful that the Lord used you to provide that, and just tell you in person, thank you for that. That helps us through this year, and we are very thankful. So thank you.
And we also thank you for your prayers. We know yes. that many, if not all of you, pray for us on a regular basis. And we would not be able to do what we do if it were not for those back home praying for us. I can honestly say, and I can say for Beth as well, we love what we do. We have a lot of fun in Nicaragua. But there are days, in fact, sometimes there's weeks, and in years past there were months, where if it were not for people praying for us, it would have been very difficult. Well, let me tell you about camp. Since we've been back this year, God has allowed us, we're about to finish our third year of this camp ministry that, if you recall, and if you don't recall, if you don't know the whole story, catch me after service, I'll give you the long version. God just kind of dropped a camp ministry in our lap about 3 years ago. It's something that we wanted to do since when we were here, but once we arrived in Nicaragua, it seemed fairly impossible, and God just said, "Hey, here you go. I want you to do camp ministry." And we said, "Okay, we don't know how to do camp ministry, but we'll try." So we're getting ready to finish up our third year of camp. We are in our second youth camp season right now. So this year we divided up the year into youth camp season one, kids camp season during the summer months, and youth camp season again. For youth camp, the theme is rescate, which can be translated a number of ways in English. It can be rescued, it can be redeemed, or it can be ransomed. And so you can probably stretch your imagination a little bit and see how we can use that to share the gospel. And there's a whole fun story about that. When we got back after furlough, our staff wanted to go with a military theme. And well, I'll tell you what, you'll just have to come back for Sunday school to hear all about that. Yeah. Kids camp, we did, I think, what you guys did. We did Observadores Galácticos. Does that sound familiar? Oh, yeah, that's right. Galactic Stargazer, sorry. We did that with the kids. And I need an interpreter up here, so I'm not accused of speaking in tongues, right? So we did that with the kids, and we're back to a rescate theme for the fall here. Long story short, and I'll give you some more details during the Sunday school hour, but the organization that is funding the camp ministry this year gave us the goal of 9,000 campers. And we're not quite going to meet the goal, I don't think, but we're going to come close. I think we're going to come between 8,000 and 8,500 campers this year. And, you know, we're grateful. It is a camp. It's a short time with the kids or with the youth, but we are confident that the gospel is going out personally and clearly. And a number of those, I would say somewhere around 10%, plus or minus a few, are making commitments of faith. But then we are trusting the pastors and some others to follow up on those. So we just give God the glory for that.
Obviously, the camp ministry is our main ministry. I'll just mention a few of the other things we're involved with. One thing that I have started this year in conjunction with the camp ministry that has really been a lot of fun for all of us is teaching English classes to our camp staff. And you see some of them there in the photos. And a lot of them, they're early 20s, and they've had different levels of English, but we've been doing English class once a week, and they're really enjoying it. And this group of young people, we really see a lot of potential in them. They're ministry-minded, and we see these young people as some that may be some of the first missionaries that leave Nicaragua to go to other countries. And so this English may be very helpful for them in the future, no matter where they go. Something else that we are involved with, our team, as you have heard before, has an Institute of Church Planting where the church planters come once a month to get classes. It's a two-year program. Because of the camp ministry, Jason hasn't been able to be involved as much. I've been involved a little bit more this year with the ladies that come, the wives and some of the women's workers. We have about 8 to 12 ladies that come, and they're about to all graduate in November. And so that's been really exciting. And so we'll share more, so hang around for Sunday school. And finally, I want our kids to stand up. As you can see, they are growing. Everybody says, what are you feeding them? I don't know, maybe it's the rice and beans, I'm not sure. But Michaela is, some of you are gonna say, wow, really? She's about to turn 14 next month. And she's been on the JV volleyball team this year and enjoyed that. Drew, this is his first year in secondary. He's 12, and Ben is 11. Drew's going to try out for the basketball team. Whew. The basketball team when we get back. And Ben, he's 11. He's sixth grade. Where they are is still in primary, and so he's been doing what they call Eagles in Training basketball. So he'll have one more of those when we get back. So if you get a chance to talk to them and ask about their life in Nicaragua, feel free to do that.
All right. And just to remind you, in case you've forgotten, Michaela turned one after we got here back in 2004. And the two boys were born here. So when people ask us, well, where are you from? And that's like a really strange question, actually. You know, where are you from? Or where's home? That's a good question. But we tend to say North Carolina. That's where we met. That's where we got married. That's where Michaela's born. The boys were like, we're from Maryland. Let me just close out our time quickly and pray for you guys. In Colossians 4, verse 2, Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us, too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I am here in chains. Thankfully, we're not in chains. We have plenty of freedom in Nicaragua. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. And so we ask that you just continue to pray for us and that God will provide for needs and will give us opportunities and will always help us to be able to speak clearly, teach clearly, make wise decisions as we move toward the future of the ministry God's given us. Let me pray for you guys this morning. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so grateful for your mercy and for your goodness to us. And we thank you for our family here at South End. It is always such a joy to see them, to hug their neck, to shake their hand, and to to worship with them. Lord, thank you for what you're doing here and what you're going to do. Lord, we know that anywhere that you have planted a church, you desire to see it grow and to grow healthy. to extend the gospel and its community into the corners of the earth. And so, Father God, I pray that here. Thank you for Pastor Mike. Thank you for bringing him here. And I thank you for the opportunity to meet him today. And I look forward to getting to know him a little bit more. Father, pray that you'd use him as the leader of this church, Lord, to move it forward for your honor, for your glory. Lord, I do pray for missionaries all around the world this morning who are trying to faithfully serve you in whatever corner of the world they're in, and in many different ways. And I just pray that you would strengthen them, encourage them, strengthen your church, Father God. Grow your church. Sometimes it looks like we're losing the battle here in this world, but we know that you have won, and I ask that you would help us to fight forward as in victory, Lord. Thank you again for the opportunity to be here. Ask your blessing on the people here at South End. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, there are times in our lives we wonder if what we're doing is making a difference. What we're doing is really making an impact. We kind of look at our lives and think, well, you know, I'm following Jesus. I'm trying the best I can. But is it really making an impression on someone else? Is it really changing anyone? Because a lot of times what we're involved in as followers of Christ in proclaiming the gospel and investing in other people, we don't necessarily see the tangible results in this lifetime. Sometimes we see glimpses of it. Sometimes we catch just a snapshot of what God's doing. But it's a lot of times we hope and we pray and we seek that. And we're going to look at the Apostle Paul this morning going through one of those times in his life. You know, we think of the Apostle Paul sometimes as being kind of a very proud, he's an arrogant, sometimes boastful guy. He's very, very loud. But also he's a guy who I think had some issues. And I know in ministry we're not supposed to have favorites. We're not supposed to, but we're people. And I think for Paul, Ephesus kind of had a special place in his heart. He had preached a lot there. His son in the ministry, literally Timothy, served there as pastor. A lot of things took place. He spent a lot of time with Ephesus. We know as we read the book of Ephesians, we see kind of the struggles he had. He was heartbroken when they seemed to miss the mark and not be focused on what God had them to do, and he really strived hard to help them understand that. And I can relate to that some. There's challenges when you look back on investments you've made and you see people not following through as the way they should. It causes despair and a little bit of distress. But what's exciting is to see those who are faithful. And I hope as we look at this today, we'll realize that it's all about what God does in our lives. We really don't control all that much. And really, we are called to be faithful. And as we're faithful, God uses us. So go ahead and turn in your copy of God's Word to Acts chapter 20, verses 17 to 38. Give you a chance to find that. And as you do, if you're able, would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word this morning? Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 38. Get it open there. Come on. All right. There we go. All right. It says in verse 17, he says, "From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, 'You yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility, with tears, with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of the repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, bound by the Spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. And behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom and no longer see my face, who will no longer see my face, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert. Remember that night and day for a period of 3 years I did not cease to admonish each one of you with tears. And I now commend you to God and to the word of his grace, who is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted to one silver or gold clothes. I've coveted no one silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who are with me. And everything I showed you by working hard in this manner, that you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And they began to weep aloud and embrace Paul, repeatedly kissing him, grieving especially over the word which he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they were accompanying him to the ship. Would you pray with me, Father? Thank you for your word. Thank you for the testimony of the apostle, his faithfulness to the mission to which you called him. And Father, there's a struggle here, I'm sure, for him as he shared these words with his brothers and sisters in Ephesus and all the things. But Father, I pray you'll use this time, Father, to remind us of our calling and our focus upon you, to share the love of Jesus Christ wherever you have placed us as every opportunity that others may hear and live. Father, thank you for the great privilege of being children of God and disciples of Jesus Christ. Bless this time and use it for your purposes, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So as we've been kind of walking through the book of Acts, this is one of those parts I would have liked to have skipped. Just to be honest with you, I'll be honest, you know. But yet it's also probably to me one of those most powerful parts because it demonstrates and shows us that it's God's work that we're a part of. The Church of Jesus Christ, as we look at us here at South End, as a part of the larger Church of Jesus Christ, are on a mission together to take the gospel not only into our neighborhoods and into those around us, but to the ends of the earth. And the mantra of that is very simple, that others may hear the good news and live. That's our purpose. That's why we're here. But a lot of times we share, we work, and we don't see the results we expect, and yet God is always working and planting seeds in the hearts and lives of those to whom we minister. And what we are called to do is be faithful and allow him to work. And then when something amazing happens, be sure that he receives the glory for what he's accomplished. Because ultimately, all of this that we do here on Sundays and throughout the week and all the different ministries that we have are not about South End Baptist Church. They're not about us. They're not about me. They're not about anything to do with us. What they are about is about our Savior Jesus Christ and exalting him, bringing him glory, and giving others the opportunity to know him as their Lord and Savior. That's why we're here. That's the purpose of the church overall. And I know there's been a lot of talk about why is the church here? Are we here for this or that? We're here to share the good news. We're here to proclaim the goodness of Jesus Christ, and we're here to see that others have the opportunity to meet the Savior that has changed our lives. And that was really at the very center of Paul's life and ministry. And as I know the Bible, sometimes the way it's written, we get confused, but chronologically, this is near the end of Paul's earthly ministry. It's winding down in the book of Acts. You can read towards the end. It's going to end in the book of Acts early. And I know the letters are after that. That's the Bible. The New Testament is not laid out chronologically, folks. It's just laid out. I don't know why they laid it out that way. God did, so I'm not going to worry about it. But it's laid out more by the way that the different types of literature that you see, the Gospels are set aside. And then you have the book of Acts, which is really about the early church. And then you have the letters that all follow from Paul and others that are written that speak to what God is doing. And I wonder, as Paul was thinking about these things and he looked upon his life and his ministry, if he was kind of thinking, well, you know, I wonder what God's done. I wonder if it's been worth it. Because in a way, we all kind of look at our lives that way at times, don't we? You know, maybe we don't have that often. Maybe that's me. Maybe I'm just weird. I know I'm a little weird. But kind of looking and saying, has it really made a difference in the kingdom? Has it really been something that is beneficial? One of the struggles that a lot of people have outside the faith is purpose and reason. And they can accumulate all kinds of things. And I've heard a lot of folks talk about these things. I've been to different leadership conferences and heard CEOs of major corporations talk about their struggle with, I mean, they ran these corporations that had billions of dollars in them, and they were incredibly successful in the world's eyes, and yet there was something that wasn't there. Something missing in their life, and they couldn't figure out what it was. And through a relationship, someone shared with them about Jesus Christ and began to help them understand the reason that they were here wasn't just to make money. And they made a lot of it, folks. But the reason they were here was to know Christ and to make him known. It's that simple. To proclaim the good news, to understand that, to provide opportunities for people to be encouraged in their love for Jesus Christ and to know him and to make his help his kingdom advance. I remember one of the guys who shall remain nameless just to protect his anonymity was telling us about that. He was all excited about what God had done in his life. But some of the people in his corporation weren't too excited when he told them that, because he started giving money away to various causes, and that concerned them. But he was the CEO and the founder of the company, so I guess he could do what he wanted, and that's what he did. But the hope of that, what he saw, was began to see how life change made a difference in his life and how he wanted to invest that in the lives of others. And he started with his employees and became a company that a lot of people wanted to work for simply because of the way that he treated those whom he loved and he cared for that served alongside him. And he began to have that perspective. And I sense that in Paul as he's trying to understand his ministry and trying to understand all that God has caused him to do, all these different missionary journeys. I know we think about, anybody out there travel a lot in your job? I know we've got a few of you or have traveled a lot. I've done that for a while. When I worked for the state convention, it seemed like I was away more than I was home. My wife would tell you that's the way it was. And it seemed like you wonder, is this doing anything for anybody other than, you know, for the people in the hotels to get extra money and all the food restaurants that I'm eating? It got to the point where I got sick of eating out. Now, some of you say, well, that's impossible. Well, I did. I got sick. And I really hated hotels because I was in one every weekend, it seemed like. And I can imagine for Paul, he didn't have the luxury of hotels and restaurants. He relied on the goodness of others, stayed in their homes, and he traveled mostly by sea or by foot. And he went a long way. And yet, he's coming to that point in his life and ministries. He's back with the people at Ephesus knowing that this is probably the last time he will see them. And obviously, there are emotions that go with that. But he also understands that God is at work, and God is doing a work in them. And he has to understand and trust that he has been faithful to do what God has told him to do, and then let God accomplish what God does. And brothers and sisters, that's really what our ministry is about as a church. As we seek to minister in this neighborhood, in this community, and partner with other ministries in the region and unto the ends of the earth, that's what we're wanting to do, is see the gospel further. We're investing and then seeing what God does and realizing that we're not going to get oftentimes firsthand to really see the change in the lives of others that take place. But know that God will be glorified and God will accomplish what he accomplishes. And we see Paul going through all this here as he talks to the folks here and he kind of moves forward. The emotions, and it ends there with them all gathering together, as you see in the text, and they're gathering together, and they're crying, and they're thankful for their time together, but they know this is goodbye. And many of you have had those parts in your life. I remember reading the story of one of the missionaries, I believe it was William Carey, one of the first missionaries that came and left America, and when he left and went overseas, he didn't come back, because it was a little different travel then. They didn't have airplanes then. Did you know that? You know how they traveled from India to here? By boat. And it was a long way. It took months to get here. And so he never saw those people again. And I know there was struggle for him for his family, and there was a lot of issues that he dealt with. And a lot of missionaries have struggled with that. And we as followers of Christ sometimes forget that we spend time and energy in people, and here a lot of times people move away. You will invest your lives in the hearts of people in this community. You will pour into them. You will share God's love and grace to them. You will see them begin to grow, and then they will get a job transfer. Something will change. They'll move away, and you wonder what happened to them. And you know what? It's okay to wonder that, but you know what? It's really not about you and me. It's not about what happens as a result of our investment in them. It's not about putting our stamp on them. What it's about is engaging them with our Savior Jesus Christ and allowing him in that relationship and that transformative way that only he can do to change their life and to mold them into the men and women of God he's created them to become, to use them as how he desires to use them. And the day will come when you will see that. Not in this life, but in the next. You will see what God has done. We've talked about that before. You probably get sick of me talking about that, but that's too bad. I'm going to keep talking about it because it's really important. You will see what he has done, and I believe you will be overwhelmed when you see what God has done with your life. But realize that every little thing you do, the investments that you're making now, whether it's working with children, whether it's working with preschoolers, working with adults, or whether it's investing your life in the lives of those you work with, your family, your friends, as you pour into them, God is doing a work, a supernatural work. And the Apostle Paul really wanted to see this, I think, more than he did, but he was beginning to see pictures of it. And yet he's trying to wonder, God, has it really been worth it? Has it really made a difference in the lives of others? And one of the verses of Scripture, Paul, that come to mind when I think of Paul and his focus, and I think of myself, probably it's one of those verses that I hang on to, is in Galatians 2:20, when he talks about his relationship to Christ and what it means. He says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. That is life as followers of Christ, brothers and sisters. It is all about allowing Jesus to live in us and through us, allowing him to take us where he wants us to go, allowing him to use us in ways that we may not have ever expected or dreamed possible. In the case of the Lang family taking a place they probably didn't plan on going when they got married in North Carolina, right? I've had two roommates from seminary that were from North Carolina. They told me it was God's country. Now, I know the rest of you are from Maryland. That's okay. I mean, I don't know. Everybody, wherever you're from, that's God's country, right? I have a friend, my roommate from college was from Kentucky, and he believed the sun rose and set on Kentucky, especially Kentucky basketball. He wouldn't want to talk about Kentucky football, but he would always say that about UK, and that's what he believed. And Steve, I know, he lives in Florida, and I'm saying, well, if it's God's country, why don't you move back there? He said, well, my job's here, so okay, I understand that. But one of the struggles that we have sometimes in our own lives is getting overly focused on circumstances and the things around us and not realizing that God is bigger than our circumstances. Amen. One of the things I learned most from experiencing God was that reality. God loves you more than you realize. And God loves you enough to not worry about your circumstances as much as you do. And can use you regardless of the place in which you find yourself in ways that you never dreamed possible to change lives that you will never even know. That's just what God does, isn't it? He is incredible. And Paul was learning this process. He was learning how to trust him. And I'm sure, because I kind of get this glimpse from reading the letters of Paul and reading the book of Acts about him, that Paul might have just been a teeny bit of a control freak, just a little bit. Might have had some issues there. I can relate to that. And some of you can as well. Wanting to be in charge, wanting to be controlled, wanting to make sure he knew everything. And yet he had to learn to let go and trust God and let God lead. And as God led him and used him, things would happen. And now as he walks toward the end of his earthly ministry, he's beginning to look and see what God has done and wonder. And I think the Holy Spirit is trying to affirm in him and remind us as well. God is at work sometimes when you don't even see it or expect it. And God is doing things that you will not realize, but trust him. And that's really what it's about. We are called to be faithful with whatever task God gives us, whatever purpose we have in life, we are called to do that with the utmost of our energy and effort to try and accomplish what God desires to accomplish in us. We are called to do that and then trust God with the results. And then see what he does. So what is he trying to say of this other than that seems to be the focal message? Well, there's a lot of things here that he says. But I look at verse 24, if you would with me again, please. He says, I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself so that I may finish the course and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. The essence of Paul's life, the essence of his ministry, the essence of our lives and our ministry isn't about what we experience as much as, you know, the things that we want, the things that bring us comfort, the things that bring us encouragement, but it's really about investing in others so that they may know and that we may be faithful in helping others know the grace of God and the love of God. Because you just don't know what difference it makes. Now I want to ask it kind of in a weird way as we kind of wind this up here, just for a personal prayer request for a family that I ministered to many, many years ago in the state of Oklahoma, the Krause family. And I've mentioned John to you. I've told you about him. John was a large guy. He was 6'8" in high school. And not 6'8", skinny 6'8", big 6'8". And I baptized John when he was a senior. And John was funny. He was scared of water. And he's the only guy that almost took me under when I baptized him. Because I told him, I don't know how many times, bend your knees, John. You're going to have to bend your knees because you're bigger than I am. You're going to take me under. I mean, I weighed 160 pounds. He weighed probably 240, 250. And when I dunked him, he didn't buckle his knees. And the baptistry was really not long enough for John. And so as he went under, I started to go with him. That was the one time I got my shirt pretty wet and about took the rest of me as well. But I never forget that. We talked about that and laughed about it. I got to baptize his sister as well. Just got to spend time with his family. Well, I received word this week from a former student that John passed away. He'd had heart issues. He was born with a disease. It's kind of the same disease that Abraham Lincoln had. If you know, I think it's called Marfan's or something like that, but it's a disease almost like gigantism. That's why he was so large. And his father had died in his early 40s. Never met his dad. But John was just an amazing guy. He was one of those guys that really didn't say a lot, but his favorite time of the year, he would tell me, he says, I love Vacation Bible School. I love working in VBS and I love working with kids. And kids loved John because John was a human jungle gym. He could just stretch out, and he was strong, and he could stretch his arms. He'd have three or four kids hanging on him, and they just loved him, and he just loved being, it wasn't anything really about that. I just love his tender spirit, and I'm going to miss him, but I know it was an incredible reunion to see his father again in heaven and to see his heavenly father. And I think of him, and I think of a lot of us as we look at life and think, well, this life will one day end, but does it really matter? Does it really make a difference? You are making more of a difference than you know. One of the bad things we have about being human beings is that we don't tell others thank you very often. We don't let them know how much we appreciate what they've done in our lives. So I want to encourage you. This is your takeaway. You know, when I do sermons, they told the seminar, we got to have a takeaway. And this is your takeaway. This week, I want to encourage you. If someone invested in your life and they're still around, they're still alive, take the time, whether it's a note, an email, I prefer not a text. A voice would be good. A phone call. You know, you can make phone calls for free long distance now if you have a cell phone, right? So it's not like it was 20 years ago or 10 years ago where you had to spend $15 for a call. And let them know how grateful you are for the investment that they made in their life. You have no idea how God can use that to bring encouragement in them and how much that will bless you. Because really, everything we do is all about him. It's all about the king. It's all about exalting the king. And the day will come for all of us when we hopefully hear those two words that every follower of Jesus Christ wants to hear. It's the reason that I live. It's the reason that I serve. It's all I really want in heaven. I mean, yeah, the streets of gold will be nice, the mansion, blah, 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 whatever it is. All I want to hear are two words from my Savior. Well done. And that's it. That's worth it. Wouldn't it be great if you could encourage someone in the days ahead? Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the faithfulness of the apostle and those that served alongside him. And I pray, Lord God, that you would continue to keep us focused upon what you're doing in our lives. And though there are days we might get a little discouraged and a little frustrated, may we be reminded, Father, that you are at work sometimes because of us, and probably in my case more often than not in spite of us. And Father, I thank you for that faithfulness that you do what you do and you accomplish all that you desire. And I pray, Father, that if there is one here today that has not experienced that life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ that Paul and others talk about so frequently, if they have not received his salvation, today would be that day for that individual. Because it's not simply about attending a church that makes us your child. It's about a relationship with you. Father, use this time in whatever way you desire, for it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.